You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Mr. Rose, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
It is only appropriate that you are wearing red because it is NBA draft day. Joining us on the program, we have LaMelo Ball in a sit-down and also Obi Toppin. Two lottery picks from tonight's draft will be joining us on this program. So let's take a look at who is drafting where at this moment in tonight's draft. We will discuss the number one pick the Timberwolves have in a second, but what's really interesting is the Warriors at number two. Rarely does a team with championship aspirations and a roster like they have the number two pick in the draft. Some say they should trade it and get an established veteran. Some say they should pick. Jalen, if you were the Warriors, what would you do with the number two spot in the draft?
Don't get cute. Draft Wiseman. Because all of the amazing things that the Golden State Warriors have within their roster, Jacoby, what they don't have is a youthful individual like that that's going to rim run, catch lobs, block shots. Oh, and by the way, give them height. The Golden State Warriors aren't the tallest team in the NBA. As a matter of fact, they're one of the shortest teams in the NBA. The greatness behind the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green was that as a Swiss Army knife, Draymond Green at 6'7" is usually able to guard people that are vastly taller than him. However, the West continues to get taller with the best teams, in particular the Lakers and the Nuggets. And so you just need height. Wiseman is going to provide that as well. He will be a great choice at number two for the Golden State Warriors, who automatically then, Jacoby, are going to catapult themselves right back into Western Conference contention.
Absolutely. A lot of times when you're thinking about who to draft and at what spot, you consider two things: the best player available and team need. And in this case, Wiseman seems to check both of those boxes, which is not normally the case. However, you see this down here? You see what's at the bottom of the screen there? LaMelo Ball's ESPN top prospect. He's also my personal top prospect. And I think any team that passes up on LaMelo Ball is going to regret it. I'm telling you, if I'm the Warriors, I have to take a hard look at this. Is he a little redundant with the Splash Brothers and Wiggins? Yes, but wouldn't it be nice if he maybe comes off the bench? He learns from Steve Kerr. He learns from Klay Thompson. He learns from Steph Curry about how to play off the ball and on the ball. And what does he do best? Distribute the ball. He is a natural passer. And wouldn't it be nice if he was just getting people open shots? Oh, I don't know, maybe some of the best shooters this sport has ever seen. That's one of the reasons that I would take a long look at LaMelo Ball, because of his fit with what the Splash Brothers do. And yes, you are right, they do need a big, but maybe they can get by with Looney and Chris and Draymond and going small, because you could think of like a Draymond, Ball, Wiggins, Thompson, Curry lineup could be sort of like the death lineup 2.0. I would take a long look at LaMelo Ball because I love him so much in this draft, and any team that drafts him is going to be happy with him. And you had the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with LaMelo Ball. Let's check in with that. Tommy, run it.
Either one or two is up to you. Hit it.
Hey. You're going to possibly be the number one pick in this year's draft.
So?
So what has your workout regimen and schedule been like?
Pretty much I was in Detroit with JJ, just pretty much getting at it. Waking up at 8. Doing shooting form. After that, go to the weightlifting gym.
Here we go, 10 seconds, squat it down. 9, 8, 7, 6, good. Come on, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, good. Relax.
Getting the whole body right. Go back to the gym.
There we go. There you go.
Hey. Go go home, watch a movie, rest up, and then restart the day.
So you guys are a basketball family. Tell me about what age and some of the drills you did and when you knew that basketball meant everything to you.
Well, really, when I was like 3, that's when it was.
There you go. Oh.
Playing on like a 10-foot hoop. And then, what did you say after that? You said drills and stuff. Yeah, we really didn't do drills.
You said 3 years old?
Yeah, you're 3.
On a 10-foot hoop?
Yeah, facts.
Here comes Ball. Ball! It's a down. They need a 3-ball. LaMelo!
What was it like playing against professionals overseas versus going to college and playing with kids your age?
And playing over there, it's like a whole new style of play that you really could add to your arsenal. I feel I learned a lot and grew from there.
One of the things that I've heard throughout this draft process is when people see you, it's like, whoa, he's taller, he's bigger than we thought.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He can shoot it better than we thought.
Freshman year, I was like 5'8".
What?
Yeah, I was like 5'8". And then when I went to overseas, I got to like 6'3", 6'4", and now 6'7".
And I think once you hit that growth spurt and your body continued to get stronger, I noticed you start playing through contact.
Yeah, your whole body changed, you know. First, when you get tall, it'd be kind of different to move and stuff. But once you get used to it, you good.
Now the NBA draft is here. What is it like for that summary to finally happen?
I'm actually really excited. It's going to be my first time in a long time playing back in the States.
What about your draft day drip? Now, draft don't show up with a red and white pinstripe
suit. No, I'm not.
Jalen Rose, I think, wins the styling award with that red pinstripe.
Actually, Lonzo draft, I had all red on. But this one, I'm going to have all black and then a little gold in it. It's going to be tough, though.
Jalen, great work. I have a theory that if his name was LaMelo Smith and he went to like Tennessee, he would be the consensus number one pick in the draft. I think it's just the fact that his father and his brothers and the fact that he played over in Europe and then he played in Australia that people still kind of don't really understand what he is. But to me, he's a tall point guard that's a natural passer that can finish and that can shoot from deep. And he's great in a pick and roll, which is basically NBA offenses now. What was your feeling of him being around him?
It's one of those things that the longer you're available for public consumption, the more people get a chance to pick you apart. That's why nowadays players, it's best for them to leave early versus being four-year prospects, because at some point they start to feel, wait a minute, he couldn't leave early. What is wrong with him? And for LaMelo Ball, he's been famous basically his entire career, Jacoby. And he's not even in the NBA yet. So we saw his family have a reality show. We saw him get a whip for his 16th birthday that was a sports car. These are all things that made him grow up young and grow up fast. And then all of a sudden, I realized something, Jacoby. He fell in love with the game and all of that didn't matter as much to him no more. He wants to be a great basketball player. And so he talked about being in Detroit, working out with Jermaine Jackson. Basically what that saying is, I'm dedicating myself to the game. I know people probably got a chance to get introduced to me in a different light, but I want them to see me as somebody who wants to be a great player and is gonna take whatever sacrifices needed in order to make that happen. And you said something that's really important. Did you say he was 6'7"? Did you say he could pass? Did you say he was a playmaker? And you gotta be a scorer if you had 92 points in a high school game. He's played in Lithuania. He's played in Australia. He's played in Ohio. That means you're in love with the game of basketball. And I slept on the fact when he was like, it's gonna be the first time I played in the States in years. Just think about that for a second, for a 19-year-old prospect.
Jalen, I would take him number one. However, the Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one pick, and they are likely to take Anthony Edwards. That's kind of what the feeling is around the league. But you have a very interesting theory about the number one pick. What is that?
Of course, everybody wants the number one pick, and it's great for headlines. And it's great for the player's ego because you want to go back and look at your draft class and say, I went number one overall. But I'm here to tell everyone, when tonight ends, the number one pick is actually overrated. This is what I mean. When you look back at the history of the draft, say since 1980, these are the only people that have gone number one to go on and win a championship with that team. Which means the body of your squad is still going to be composed based on veterans with larger contracts that are going to drive the dynamics of you actually winning it all or not. And so the number one pick, of course, if he's an all-time great game-changing player like LeBron James, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, but usually that's not going to be the case. You still need to build out your roster because that number one pick isn't necessarily going to lead your team in points, rebounds, and assists their rookie year. And so it's very important that while we're going to celebrate the number one pick in tonight's draft choices, just know Minnesota in particular, the person that you draft tonight isn't necessarily going to lead you to a championship one day.
That's a really good point. We're so excited about the draft tonight, but we still have some lingering news from down in Houston. Of course, James Harden didn't come out and request a trade, but didn't sign an extension, said he wants to go to Brooklyn. And now we have this from Raphael Stone, the all of a sudden embattled GM of Houston. He said he's willing to get uncomfortable. He's willing to have James show up at work. We don't have to trade you. You're under contract for two more years. What do you think about this strategy from the Rockets franchise?
I'm really disappointed in a lot of multimedia people who seem to think James Harden being uncomfortable is a bad thing for the Rockets franchise. And let me tell you why. You know what makes people really comfortable? When you're paying them $30, $40 million a year. That's what makes people comfortable. And as long as James is going to get his check, which he will, he's going to show up and be a professional. He has 2 years left on his contract, and the goal is for him to be moved. But when you do it outwardly like that, you almost hamstring the ability of the team to get equal value in return. So now it takes the deal even longer to actually take place because everybody knows that you're operating from a deficit. I believe at some point clearly that they will move Russ probably first and then move James. But if you're not getting an all NBA caliber performer in return for James Harden, you're getting a bad deal. I always talk to you about draft picks not being able to play. And when you see Paul George getting moved for multiple draft picks, when you see Drew Holiday getting moved for multiple draft picks, it tells you while they have value, they don't have the value that they used to.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to say, because I'm a serious journalist, that that was not attributed to Stone himself. It was a high-ranking Rocket source in the Tim McMahon piece. Jalen, coming up next on this program, we will be joined by that man, the high-flying Obi Toppin, who is going to be a lottery pick in tonight's draft. Wait till you hear what he has to tell us about the draft experience. Stay tuned.
We get it all in Toppin.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Coming to you live from Pier 17, the South Street Seaport, and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it is draft day, and we have the honor of being joined by one of the potential lottery picks. Obi Toppin is joining us on the program. Thank you so much for taking the time. Now, you are not a typical one-and-done type of player. Your journey and your experience is different. How does that set you apart from other prospects?
I just feel like I have a lot more experience than other guys. I feel like with the years that I had at Dayton and the extra year of high school going to prep school, I just feel like with those extra years, like I'm more developed and I feel like I got a lot more experience. So,
Obi, congratulations. I feel like you're going to have a long, prosperous NBA career. I like to judge prospects clearly by what I see on the floor. But you have something that I see in very few players that you would be successful without basketball, And I always appreciated that following your career. There are so many teams that look at you, especially in a pick and roll era, and feel like you're a typical big guy that can set the screen and pop, set the screen and roll. Why do you feel like that's such a great part of your game?
I just feel like with me being the player I am, like nobody can really know what I'm going to do. I just feel like with my athleticism, I draw a lot of attention, and me rolling to the basket is going to have a lot of other guards and shooters open. And with me picking and popping and having like an ISO game with another big, I feel like I'm a lot faster than most bigs and can get to the basket faster. So I feel like nobody can know exactly what I'm going to do because I can do a lot of different things. So
to that point, you've got so many different skills in your game that there's no true player comp that I can think of in the NBA because you can do so many things on the floor. Who are some of the players that people are comparing you to that you've heard?
Yeah, so I heard a lot of Amari Stoudemire. I heard a lot of John Collins, but I feel like I play a little bit like Anthony Davis. I feel like with the game that he has, he does a lot of different things that I feel like I can mimic. Like he has a good inside game, he has a good mid-range game, and he has a good three-point game. I feel like with all those things, that's exactly how I play. So,
Obi, this is an amazing time in your life, but don't take everything too serious. Find ways to enjoy being drafted. What's going to be on the menu tonight? Who's going to be with you when you get picked?
Yes, sir. So for tonight, I'm gonna have my mom and my dad. Definitely, I'm gonna have my girlfriend, and I'm gonna have a lot of family with me. I'm gonna definitely have my coaches and definitely my point guard at college, Jalen Crutcher. I had to have him there. So coach said he can come with them. So the moment's just gonna be fun. Like we're gonna live in the moment and just enjoy it. Like me being in this position is a blessing and I couldn't trade it for anything else in the world. So
this is a draft like no other, not just because it's virtual, but because there's so much uncertainty, not just who's going to get picked where, but what team is going to get picked where. What does it feel like to be someone who's projected to go so high, but has no idea who's going to be there and who's going to get picked and what team's going to be doing the picking?
Yeah, it's very nerve-wracking, but at the same time, like, I'm super grateful for being in this position. A lot of people dream of this moment, and me just being in this position is a blessing. So, like I said before, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. So,
I couldn't wait to have you on the show because I wanted to make sure that we showed some of your terrific highlights.
Yes, sir.
What is it like to catch bodies the way you do?
It's a great feeling. I couldn't do it without my teammates, though. Those guys, like they throw perfect passes for me to do the things I do best. Like we had great defenders on the team for me to get stuff like this. That's nasty, but we had a great team who opened the floor for me to be able to do certain things like this. So like right there, Jalen Crutcher being the point guard he is, I wouldn't be able to do it without him. So.
Well, both of us rely on Jalen's in our career to advance, so yes, I know sir. What you're talking about. Now, it has been reported, and I just don't believe this to be true. It has been reported that you could not even dunk until your senior year of high school. Is that true?
Yes, sir, that is true. I could not have dunked until my senior year of high school. So
that is wild. And look at what you're doing now.
Wow.
Right.
That is crazy. So what organizations have you been in contact throughout the process?
So through this process, I've been talking with Minnesota. I talked with the Warriors, the Hornets, Cleveland, and New York. Those five teams right there. Four out of the five came to see me play in person or work out in person. And one of them just did an interview. So all those teams, like I'm very thankful for all of them giving me the chance to talk with them. But we'll wait to see what happens tonight. So.
Well, you know, you went to a few different high schools before you went to college, but I just want you to know here in New York, Brooklyn is claiming you, okay? Brooklyn is claiming you, you know, and I heard the streets are telling me that your dad used to be out here in the parks as well. What was his game like?
Oh, his game's terrific. Like, you can go on YouTube and look up his highlights. Like, he was a park legend. Rucker Park, Dykeman, West Fourth, like all the city parks. Like if you go there and ask who Snoop is or Obi Senior, they gonna know exactly who you're talking about. So
Dunker's Delight, putting in work.
Yes, sir.
So Obi, when you playing in the league, the season's gonna start less than a month, basically a month after you get drafted.
Yes, sir.
Who are some of the players that you're looking forward to playing against?
So I grew up watching LeBron. So obviously LeBron, I feel like every player in this draft can't wait to play against LeBron. But at the same time, like I know playing against these guys, like I need to go in there and make a statement. So it's going to be great being on the same court as LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Giannis, like all those guys, being on the court with them is going to be great. But at the same time, I got to go and make a statement. So
Obi, you only get drafted once. You're going to play for over a decade in the league, but you only get drafted once. So
yes,
that
sir.
Outfit that you get drafted in is going to live forever. Give us an idea of what you'll be rocking tonight.
I don't want to give too much, but tonight the suit that I got on is going to be real nice. It's going to stand out for sure. Hopefully, it's the number one suit in the draft. So
playing at Dayton, now being a lottery pick in tonight's draft, just talk to people who don't necessarily know about your journey from starting college until now. Can you give them a snapshot of what it took for you to get here?
Yeah, so my first year in college, I wasn't able to play due to academic reasons. But that whole year, my coaches and my teammates, they helped me through that year become the person and player I am today. They pushed me every single day to be great. I went from 180 to 220 in 1 year, my freshman year of college. Mm. And the first year I was able to play, one of our teammates was hurt, Josh Cunningham. And so I was able to start the two games, and I believe I had 19 the first and 18 the second. And just having that opportunity to start those games, it gave me a lot of confidence to go in and do what I had to do to help the team win. So after that year, first year playing, I had the opportunity to work out with five NBA teams. And listening to the feedback they gave me and coming back to school for another year, I knew I had to grind every single day to be a great player. And my teammates and coaches helped me with that. And that's why I'm in the position I am in today. So I'm very grateful for them.
Well, I went from 180 to 220 in my freshman year as well, but something tells me it looked a little different on me than it did on you. Let's just say that. So, you know, you're going to make the leap from starring at Dayton to going into the league. What specifically about your game have you worked on to try to develop and adjust for the NBA game?
Honestly, worked on everything. Like, I'm not perfect at anything. Like, I know I got good things that I do here and there, but literally everything that I worked on, like shooting, post game, mid range, a lot of defense. Like I had a lot of guys come through who played in the NBA, a lot of draftees come through, and playing against those guys, guards, bigs, like it helped me defensively and helped me work on that side of the game. And offensively, like I worked on everything. Even though I was a dominant player in the post, I still know I need to keep the touch around the rim. I still need to know how to bump off someone and do fadeaway shots and do certain things to make my game easier and harder for people to guard me. So everything that I needed to work on to be great at the next level, I've been working on. And I had that help with I had the opportunity to work with Rick Brunson, who used to play. And he's been working me out these past 8 months and helped me become a better player. So,
Rick Brunson, that's my brother right there, and his son,
yes,
Jalen, my namesake.
Yes,
those my peeps right there. Can you tell me some of the tips that you've learned from working out with them?
Basically, they've been through it. So just listening to the things that they've been through and listening to the things they tell me, like going to the league, do this. Like, I understand that I need to work every single day to be a great player. I want to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I want to win a ring. I want to win a lot of games and just have the opportunity to be great one day. And basically, he just told me, like, go in, listen to what the coaches are saying, work every single day, and just do what you got to do. Be the same person you are, because I feel like with my personality, like, it helps me a lot throughout my journey. And he just said, be the person you are and you're going to be successful. And I took that to heart. So every single day, I'm grinding to the best of my abilities, and I'm going to do that with any team I go to. So,
unlike my co-host, I'm sure that you'll be financially responsible once the NBA checks start coming in. So my question for you is there something you've had your eye on, whether it's an item of clothing or a car or a gift for your family? What do you have your eye on for when those NBA checks start coming in?
Oh, I definitely need to get myself a house and a car, but with some of the checks that I got before the draft, like I had a couple of endorsement deals, and I was able to get my mom a car. Like, I always wanted to get my mom something. I don't even have a car myself yet. And literally, as soon as I had enough money to get my mom a car, like, I took her to the lot and was like, pick out any car. And she got the car she wanted. It was a C43 with an AMG engine in Mercedes. So she loves the car a lot, red interior, and she's happy. Yes. So I'm happy. So,
well, Obi, we're excited for you. We're rooting for you and your family. Best of luck throughout this transition from college to the NBA. Feel free to come back and join us anytime. We're your home court to kick it about anything.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more on this special draft day on Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
It all goes down tonight at 7:30 on ESPN. It is the 74th annual NBA draft. There'll be surprises. There'll be high picks. There'll be trades. Make sure you tune in. 7:30 on ESPN. And since it is draft day, you know we have to show the suit. Jalen Rose, looking back, how do you feel about the red and white suit?
Detroit Slim all day with the cubic zirconians in the left ear. Two of them. Stand up, Detroit.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. Jalen, projected number one pick Anthony Edwards is not just a basketball player, not just a football player, also a rapper. However, he said he's an aspiring rapper, said he has a few tracks with his older brother, and someone said, oh, so like Dame Lillard, he said, quote, but I can really rap. Dame talking about, I don't know what he's talking about, I'm rapping like Lil Baby. Jalen, your thoughts on the projected number one pick already taking shots at Dame Dollar for his rapping ability?
So, rule number one, young people out there, aspiring entrepreneurs out there, there's something that I always use in my mind to keep my focus on where it should be. And I call it the 95-5 theory. It means 95% of what I've become, in my case, was because of basketball. So that means everything around that should continue to uplift that 95%. That other 5%, that's the hustle, that's the appearance, that's the endorsement, that's the sideshow, that's the album, that's the hobby. So if you're Anthony Edwards, you don't want to come into the league and make people think that you're more focused on rapping than hooping. But also what you don't want to do is to alienate other great players by taking shots at them. Because when you take a shot at Dame based on how he raps, trust me, I've been involved with sports my entire life. That's basically you having an arrogance thinking that you're gonna be better than him at basketball. So because of that, you can diss him as a rapper. And you don't want those problems. And by the way, Dame Dollar got bars.
Bars.
Dame Dollar also, in my mind, is one of the top seven players in the league. To me, the attitude should be, I want to come into the league and do a song with Dame. Not dissing Dame. And I didn't know this until you told me. You also don't want to make your path into the league tougher. You don't want to make the integration rougher. You want to get picked. And this year, it's going to be the shortest period of time between when somebody gets drafted, the 18th, and then when games actually get played, December 22nd. That ain't long. Usually the draft is June 15th, and the season don't start till late October. It's 90 days or so. And so based on that, I would advise him, and I'm pretty sure my brother Rich Paul is going to do the same. Dog, we'll need your verses or your bars right now. We need you to get picked, go to Minnesota and be there tomorrow and live there and get ready to start the season.
To Anthony Edwards' credit, he did say that he wasn't going to release his music until he was, quote, established in the NBA. So I think he's already gotten some of that advice. But just
okay, cool.
But you just can't say anything about Dame. You know what I mean? Dame's established himself as the best athlete rapper out there. If you're not going to put anything out until you're established, then just keep your mouth shut. That's all it takes. You can have opinions, Mr. Edwards, but just don't say them into microphones. Don't say them to reporters. That's all you got to do. It's not that deep, you know, and we'll see. But I think he's going to the Timberwolves. I really think he's going to the Timberwolves tonight. But there's a lot of discussion about Knicks potentially moving up. Bulls might be active. Celtics are out here with 3 picks in the first round. I think they got 16, 24, and 30, not off the top of my head. But there's going to be some movement tonight, Jalen Rose. There's going to be some trades. There's going to be some Gordon Hayward conversations, and who knows?
I got one name that I want to put into the lexicon that I'm watching to see who acquires him. Because he's one of the underrated gems in the league. Zach LaVine. That's a name that you're going to also see and get tossed around potentially based on where the Bulls are drafting. Kobe White took a crazy leap the last maybe 15, 20 games of the year.
No. What'd you call him? What'd you say his name was?
Jacoby.
Thank you.
White.
Thank you.
Use the last, maybe, fam, I don't have to tell you this, but for those that wasn't paying attention to the lottery-bound Bulls, Jacoby White averaged almost 30 like the last 10 games.
He went on a run. He went on like 5 balling. Games. It was like 25, 35, 27, 40, 25. Like, and he was making it look easy, too. Getting to the hoop. He's like 6 feet, maybe 6'1", with the hair, 6'6". Getting to the hoop, shooting quick, running around, pull-up jumpers from mid-range. He looked great doing it, too. I love Jacoby White. And they pick him fourth. They're going to add a player. They got a young team, new coach.
And so if I'm the Bulls, by the way, I see no harm in keeping Jacoby and Zach LaVine. But for some strange reason, it seems like the Bulls always seem to decide to get rid of their best player to try to see if they can build around someone else, as opposed to keeping their best player and adding him to young new talent. And so if Zach LaVine squirts away from the Bulls and ends up with the Sixers, for example, that's real currency. That's real currency. That he's a legit 20-point scorer.
Another name like that, someone who is tucked away in a little piece of the league that people don't really pay attention to, and goes night in and night out on the trading block potentially. Aaron Gordon came on this program. If he goes to a team that's got real aspirations and playoff potential. And don't talk to me about the Magic have been in the playoffs the last few years. They've been the 8th seed the last few years, and they didn't even sniff the second round. So, yeah, they've been in the playoffs, but they've been in the 8th spot in the playoffs with a sub-500 record in the East. But Aaron Gordon, and any team would be really happy to add him. And if he's not your first or second or third option, he can be a great, great piece of that.
I got a team for Aaron Gordon. And I play for this team.
That's not fair.
He would fit perfectly with The Indiana Pacers. He would fit perfectly with the Indiana Pacers. And I know I purposely said I played for this team because I knew you wouldn't be able to guess because I played for so many teams. So I knew you weren't going to guess. But when I throw that out there, it makes people believe that they know. Then they're like, wait a minute, he played for 100 teams.
Oh, he's inside information.
What team are you talking about? I would like to see him with Indiana. Stay tuned.
There's a lot of players out there. There's also like Rudy Gobert. Like if you're the Jazz, you're looking at Rudy Gobert, great player. Great defender, great finisher. You know, you're looking at Rudy Gobert, you're like, do I want to give him like a max 5-year deal? Maybe not. And then maybe he goes on the market. You know, I don't think, personally, I think Rudy Gobert is great, but like if he really thinks he's a max player, I don't know if I can do that. So he might be someone who's on the trading block. There's going to be a lot of movement this particular season.
So for Rudy Gobert's stifled tower style, being a rim protector, there's not much of a post-up threat. There's a home for him, clearly, but not just to be your first or second best player. He has to go somewhere where it's already established who they are, but he's going to bring them a game-changing dynamic. So imagine if you just put him somewhere like Dallas. Good call, D. Exactly. So you got Porzingis. He's going to stretch the floor. He's also 7 foot. But guess what you don't want Porzingis doing? Guarding centers. Right? And so you have Luka, who isn't much of a defender at the point. You need that anchor down low. So he is worth that money to the Mavs. For me, when you have Donovan Mitchell as your centerpiece on the perimeter, and by the way, did he sign his extension yet? Because I heard a lot of talk that he was going to do it, and I believe that he is going to do it, but it ain't happened yet. It ain't happened yet. You got to open up the floor for Donovan Mitchell. And so,
absolutely,
I agree with you. It's going to be a lot of productive players whose names getting thrown around, who will be getting moved. But remember when you're watching this, draft picks ain't as valuable as they used to be.
Nope.
Draft picks are not as valuable as they used to be. That's like a layaway now.
Let me demonstrate that for you. Let me demonstrate that. So we're talking about the Jrue Holiday trade, right? So, all right, Eric Bledsoe, productive player, disappointing in the playoffs, and 3 picks and pick swaps. But let's talk about those 3 picks. This is all a move to get Giannis to sign for 5 years, right? Let's say Giannis signs for 5 years. A lot of those picks that we're talking about and those pick swaps fall to a team that has Giannis. So those are going to be in the 20s. So those are late first rounders. And then the swaps, you're probably not even going to make those swaps. So really, like, those picks are, they look great in the trade and they look great to your fan base. We are like, yeah, we listen, Pelican fans. Yeah, they look great. It's like, yeah, we lost Jrue Holiday. I understand that y'all love him very much, but we got Eric Bledsoe, and he's great. And we got 3 first-round picks. Now, if Giannis leaves,
yes,
and the Bucks end up in the lottery,
got 3 of them.
We got 3 first-round picks. Look at that. Look at that, guys. Great. Look, I just won the trade. But it's like, yeah, but those picks end up being 24, 26, and 29, and you don't execute the swaps?
And if you're lucky, you get a Kyle Kuzma at 28.
But there's only so many of those examples.
You get a player like that.
There's only so many of those examples. There's only so many Duncan Robinson,
correct,
Kendrick Nunns out there that don't get drafted that end up being productive players. Like, there's a lot of undrafted players that don't end up being productive players in the NBA. A lot of them. There's a lot of second round picks
98%.
That don't turn into some of the famous second round picks. Yeah. Everyone always points to that. They're like, well, Giannis went at 15 or whatever. Giannis went at 15. It's like, yeah. Giannis went at 15. But let's look at all the 15s in the past 20 years. Let's look at all the 15s in the past 20 years. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of 15 picks out there. Not all of them are Giannis. You know, everyone always likes to point to those. But it's like, no, like, there's a lot. Jalen, I have some important information. I got some too hot for TV. I wanted to talk to you about this, man. Cause they always say try not to talk about. Just this isn't just like an ESPN. I mean, I don't want to give the wrong impression. But like, if you meet a stranger at the bar, they're like, "Look, don't talk about money, politics, or sport. I mean, money, politics, or religion. You know what I mean? Try to keep it surface level. But I'm about to talk about religion because this one's just too perfect. The Pope has an official Instagram account, right? Now, I don't know if he's on the ones and twos on that official Instagram account. I'm assuming that multiple people have access to that account, such a big account. But they done messed up. There's an Instagram model. She's got a very shapely body. The Pope double-tapped and liked it. Jalen Rose, your thoughts? I'm not going to say the Pope did it himself.
He's a human being.
But the Pope accidentally double-tapping an Instagram model. So I don't know how the internship program works at the Vatican, but someone's getting fired.
At the Vatican. All I know is this. What's wrong with the Pope liking an IG model?
Well, you know it wasn't him.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Someone walked into his office and it was like, whatever they call him, I don't know, the Pope. They don't call him Pope. They call him like Your Honor or whatever, like the Highness. I don't know what they call the Pope. I'm not in the Vatican. But someone went into his office and were like, we have to tell you about something that happened on Instagram. He's like, what's Instagram? Like, it's a social media. It's just a popular way people communicate. You know, he's just like, huh? And then they're like, we made a mistake and we liked a picture. Let me show you the picture. And he saw the cheeks and he was just like, oh God.
He saw the cheeks and then he took a steel shot and saved it into his phone.
Yeah, he's like, I need this for the investigation. Can you print that out for me just for the investigation? I need to get down to the bottom of this. Let me see her profile. I need to launch an investigation. This is important. This is important stuff. Shout to the Pope. I assume it's not the Pope, but if it was actually the Pope, big shout to the Pope. Big shout to, he travels a lot. He got a lot of downtime, though. He got a lot of downtime. Big shout to the Pope.
So what country does the Pope live in? Do you know?
Italy, Rome.
He lives in Italy?
Yeah, Rome. Been there.
Oh, okay.
Been to the crib. He invited me over to the crib. Been to the crib before. Been to the crib. Yeah, he lives in Rome. He does a lot of traveling, though.
Italians have great, great reputations for doing so many amazing things. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I ain't mad at it. I'm really not mad at it.
Shout to the Pope.
Yeah, I mean.
I think whoever liked that picture
should get a raise immediately. Should get a raise immediately. Because you know why? You're stimulating the Pope and keeping him alive and happy.
I know you know how it is. You know there's like some 26-year-old social media professional who just did switch to the wrong account. Because you know, like, we've seen this happen with the burners. Like, you gotta make sure you're switching those accounts
KB
appropriately.
Style.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you're switching the accounts appropriately. They are definitely on the wrong account. Looking at some cheeks. Big shout to the Pope. Hope it was you, dog. I really hope it was you. Floyd Mayweather, he's gonna fight again in Tokyo in February. Your thoughts?
Keep getting them checks. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Because you know why? You said that he was going to fight. But you know what you didn't say?
I don't know who he's going to fight. I just had the headlines. I don't have the thing. It's going to be like that last one. Remember the last exhibition where the dude like didn't even make it out the first round or something? It was like even Floyd. Floyd's not even trying to knock him out.
He fought against one of the... Yeah, man. Floyd over here getting paid $20 million to fight against Uber Eats guys.
Yeah.
he out there robbing them. You know, they like, yeah, he like, I'll come over there. He's like, y'all gonna pay me how much? Like, I'm doing it.
Oh, no doubt. You know what? And also, like, I just like, to, you know what I like to think about? The luxury of the travel. You know what I mean? He's gonna be like, listen, I'm gonna need a private plane for 25 people. We're all gonna need suites at the nicest hotel. All the meals need to be paid for and catered. I'm bringing my private chef, need to pay for him. I'm bringing my barber, you need to pay for him. Like, the contract's got to be like 150 pages of just stuff he needs just to get in the ring for 15 minutes to beat somebody up who doesn't have a chance. That's what I like to think about, the rider on the contract. Like, in my dressing room, I need these certain couches. I need a masseuse 24/7. I need this. I need that. Like, I that's what I like to think about. Just his lawyers negotiating about the contract.
Keep getting them checks.
Shout out to Floyd. Keep getting them checks.
Keep getting them checks.
Jalen, we have to weigh in on something that's going on trending on Twitter. It is the In-N-Out versus Shake Shack debate. Where do you stand on the great burger debate between In-N-Out and Shake Shack?
Shake Shack, Indiana, all day.
No, it's Steak and Shake.
In-N-Out
that's
Burger.
That's Steak and Shake. That's Steak and Shake.
Oh, that's Steak and Shake.
Yeah, yeah. So don't ever disrespect Shake.
Steak well,
and
just
shake.
So you know, if that's the case, I've never had Steak and Shake.
Shake Shack.
I've never eaten there.
Oh, I've had a Shake Shack.
I've never eaten at Shake Shack. And the most exposure I got to In-N-Out Burger were those cleavage commercials
that they
produced over a few year period of time.
What we're learning is Jalen Rose not really that up on fast food burgers. And that's fine. That's good. You're healthy. You look good. You're not Kangaroo Jalen anymore. But Carl's Jr.'s marketing strategy is like, we're going to show you boobs. And then they moved on to just like crazy hamburgers, like the new barbecue bacon cheeseburger. It's got an onion ring and three strips of bacon and cheddar cheese and barbecue sauce. And on top of that, a steak and a chicken breast on a burger. You're just like, dog, like who even wants to eat that? Like who's really ordering that? Spike Lee's next
onion
project is going to be
on top of the burger.
Spike Lee's next project is going to be a movie musical about the origin of Viagra, the erectile dysfunction drug. Jalen, I'm sure Spike is in your phone. Can you walk him off of this? Like, can you, a Black Klansman was fire. You know what I mean? Like, we got to walk him off of this one.
Well, here's what I want to walk young people off of. There's so many people, Jacoby, that are under 30 years old that use Viagra because in their minds they want to have an amazing performance or so. Mm-hmm. But what I want to advise those people as somebody that's almost 50, and I'm pretty sure our guy Tommy, our producer, will tell you guys, our director will tell you guys as well, ain't nothing like getting around 50 and you still got all natural flow.
Mm-hmm.
When you taking that Viagra and you under 30, your performance ain't gonna be the same. I'm telling you, it is not gonna be the same. You're gonna look down and you like 37, and you're gonna be like the old, since we talking about fast food, it's gonna be like the old Wendy's. It's gonna be like, where's the beef?
Listen.
You're like, where's the beef?
All I'm gonna say is, I don't need a pill that makes the tool longer. I need a pill that makes it last longer. Where's that pill? Where's that one? I got no problem with ED, but we got the. Can I get the? No, we don't have that one. Come on, Spike Lee, get on that.
Usually when you get over 30, you don't have that.
I'm calling Pfizer. I'm gonna say, listen, I know y'all working hard on this coronavirus vaccine, but
they kind of busy.
Yeah, I know it's important, but there's a problem that I have that I need you guys to get on. Jalen.
No, that's good. It worked out good for you. You got three kids in the process.
Oh, man. Too many kids.
If that's the case, you probably got three kids in 6 minutes. That's probably a record.
It's less. Because remember, they're twins. Three kids would be three individual kids. We're sub five. So you can relate to this one. I can relate to this one, I should say, because of all the children. There's a school that has asked the parents to stop throwing their kids over the gate when they show up late for school. Like, so they're showing up late. The school closes the gate, locks it up, and parents are throwing their kids over the fence. I totally relate to this. You're taking this kid just because it's 8:02. Just because it's 8:02 doesn't mean my kid's not going to school today. He's going over this gate.
Correct.
I'm sure the fence is probably only like 5 feet high. You know what I mean? It's not Rikers Island. It's not like it's 30 feet high with barbed wire at the top. You got to launch it from a catapult. I'm sure it's only a 5 foot gate, and I'm putting my kid right over that thing. I'm tall. My kids are going over that gate and going to school. Y'all. And I'm driving away, so you're taking the kids.
When we wake up in the morning and the plan is to get to school, we going to school.
Yes. We are going to school.
I don't care about traffic jams, no delays, weather. If I get there 7:55 or I get there 8:25, at that point, they're going.
I got to say something, too, and they don't ask me about policy when it comes to shutdown and the economy and the coronavirus, but I wish they did. Because in New York City, if they shut down schools before they shut down gyms, I'm gonna write a real email. Like, my kids got to be going to school. Like, if you go to Equinox and get on a treadmill and sweat and breathe all over that little place, and there's real low transmission in schools right now. There are some counties in Staten Island, in outer boroughs, that are having some flare-ups. So shut those schools down. Because there's some people with coronavirus in Staten Island, my kids are still going to school. If you're in a community that is under the 3%, your kids should still be going to school. And if you can go to a bar and sit at a table, take your mask off and drink and talk inside, and my kids can't go to school, so you're trying to tell me restaurants and gyms are open, hair salons are open, but the school's closed? No, no, no. I got to drop my kids off at school.
Well, my hometown, Michigan, has already acknowledged over the next 3 months it'll be total remote learning. And I'm actually fine with that. Mm-hmm. I support that.
Different transmission rates.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Different
also,
age group.
Jay.
Correct.
You know what I got? Yo, they got the Moderna. Dolly Parton. You know Dolly Parton killed the coronavirus? Did you hear about this? Moderna's got a 94% effective vaccine in trials, and Dolly Parton put some money up for it. Big shout to Dolly Parton. Who would have thought, huh? Of all the people, Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton killed the coronavirus.
Wow. I knew Dolly Parton killed bras. I didn't know that she killed the coronavirus.
The second I said her name, I was like, I shouldn't have said that. The second I said her name, I was like, I shouldn't have said that. Because when Jalen pulls up the Dolly Parton file, he ain't going to sing Jolene. He ain't gonna sing Jolene.
That's what I remember.
On this special draft day podcast, we always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. So right now, while you're listening to this, push pause on the podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN. Straight up, we'll put it on the show. If right now you call 985-80-JALEN, ask an intelligent, coherent question, we will put it on the show just like this. What do you got, Tommy?
Yo, peace to the James Jack fam. First and foremost, shout out Reg, shout out the whole staff, love the show. Very simple question, and I think it fits the times. Right now, quarantine, working from home, my BM is working from home, got a 3-year-old son, we both doing a virtual thing right now. And my question is this, at what point do I say, you know what, I respect everything you do, talking to my BM in terms of how you get your bread, but I'm the breadwinner. I need to focus on my job, and you got to watch this baby. What's the cutoff point? What's the time when I say, you know what, it's time for you to boss up and watch this kid while I get this bread? You know, I'm doing the balancing thing. I'm hopping off my calls so she can get on her calls, but it's affecting my work. I got to focus on this money. So my question for the fam is, at what point do I say, I ain't watching the baby, you watch him. I got to work. Let me know. Love the show. Holla at your boy.
You always know it's going to be a good question when they don't put their name on it. When they don't put their name on it, you always know it's going to be a good question. And I got an answer for you you're not going to like. Never. Never. You can never disrespect your partner's profession by acting like, well, you make X and I make Y, so Y is more important than X. I need my time. Listen, man, we were just talking about a vaccine. I'm not a scientist, but I feel like we're probably 5-6 months away from kind of getting to the other side of this and getting back into offices and getting back outside. You just got to hunker down and get through this. This will not last. This will not be forever. You need to do the balance. You need to get on your Zoom calls and turn on the TV sometimes. That, you know what I do? Turn to Uncle Telly. That's my advice. Turn to Uncle Telly. I know it's not the best thing for your 3-year-old, but sometimes you got to turn on Uncle Telly, which is the television in my home. Sometimes Uncle Telly got to babysit. Listen, Paw Patrol, rock Paw Patrol, man. Get on that Paw Patrol flow, PJ Masks flow, Barbie Dreamhouse, whatever you got to put on, whatever you guys got to do, but do not encourage her to not work her job, and don't you dare fix your lips and try to explain to her why your job is more important because you're making more money, because that's not going to go good for you.
And also, I want to add to what Jacoby said, and he's exactly right. Here's actually what you don't want. Her not to work. Mm-hmm. You don't want that. If she enjoys working, you want her to continue to work. You know why? Because that's going to occupy her at different points of the day, just like your job and profession occupies you at different points of the day. And usually that creates a space that stops you from getting on each other's nerves. Also, the actual answer to the question is, when everything is on your credit card and you paying for all of the bills. So when she goes to order something from Amazon, if it's on your credit card, if you paying all of the bills and you taking care of everything, then you could consider saying, hey, since I'm doing so very well, maybe instead of you investing your time into a job, why don't we invest that time into our three-year-old? But from what I hear, it sounds like we're a little bit from that. So you gotta suck it up, dog. You gotta suck it up, dog.
It's tough, man. I mean,
there will
tough.
Never it's be tough. A time. There will, Jacoby, correct me if I'm wrong. Will there ever be a time that your wife and your kids come to you and say, Dad, you're the greatest. You worked so hard. Oh, man, we don't know what we'll do without you. Have you ever heard that?
No. It's a thankless job. I think when I'm like, when my kids are like 35, when my kids are like 35 and they have kids, correct. And they're like, man, this is hard. Like, I'm going to be old, sipping on some scotch. On the rocks, on a front porch, a rocking chair where I spend 8 hours a day. Then that's when my kids are 35, 30 years from now, they'll come up and be like, man, this is hard. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I will also say this to this young man is.
Here's the other thing I want you to think about. I want to make sure I let him think about something else too. You also want your three-year-old to see both of you guys being professionally productive. That's going to mean a lot based on what Jacoby just said. Thank you for the call. We appreciate the support.
Appreciate you so much. Another thing you can do if you don't want to talk about it, just get in front of it and just say, like, look, these are my Zoom calls. This is the time I need by myself. And then you get in front of it. You kind of put your flag down on certain hours during the day of what you need just to set the expectations.
Correct.
Thank you so much for the call.
Correct.
Everybody call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put on the show. I want to thank LaMelo Ball for joining us. I want to thank Obi Toppin for joining us. I want to thank Tyrese Maxey for joining us earlier in the week. And good luck to all of the draftees. We will be back tomorrow to break down all the big moves in the NBA and more. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.